Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Right, Andy,
Steve.
In one word, what did you make of Johnny Bairstow's dismissal?
In one word, I'd probably describe it as shame.
I was thinking you were going to say shame or shameful.
Yeah, I think it's... and there's a few different ways you can interpret that. Shame as in it's a shame. It's a shame for England. It's a shame for the Test match as a whole, that it was probably robbed of maybe an even tighter conclusion because you're taking out one of the key players in such a soft, arguable way. And then there's also the point-blank shame that I think some sections of Australia will be feeling of, like, that just is not cricket. What do you think of it, Steve?
I don't know if they will. I don't know if they will, because I... What it's made me realise, because obviously last year at the end of the season we had the Indian run out of the non-strikers end at Lords when Charlie Dean got run out. And that was when England needed about 12 or 14 to win, something like that.
Mm.
That was India. And, I mean, commentators, English commentators were getting death threats from members of the Indian support because they're like, it's in the laws and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
This year, the Aussies have stood by what they've done. And it makes me realise that England are just about the only country left that actually care. Like, that... When this happens, this sort of thing happens, I actually, like I said, it'll be less than 30 seconds until someone uses the word spirit of the game. And I think it was actually about 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, it's the first thing that comes to mind, isn't it?
Well, you just get all the cretins come out of the woodwork going, oh, it's in the spirit of the game. And then it's like, and then you just get all the foreign fans who hate England of any nationality going, well, what about the time Stuart Broad didn't walk? And, oh, when I saw one post, oh, what about Ben Stokes cheating at Lords in the World Cup final when he intentionally hit the ball to the boundary on the run? And it's like, oh, give me a break. Like, come on. And that, I think that's the cry and shame is... that Ben Stokes scored an incredible 150.
What a knock. What a knock.
Stuart Broad wore more balls than you can count and was an absolute hero to bat for 2 hours.
Properly dug
just,
in.
It was an incredible game of cricket, and unfortunately now we're just doomed to talk about someone having a go at some stumps. It was clever, I guess.
Well,
I'd done it, I'd have thought it was clever, to be fair.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was very, very clever.
I mean, let's not beat around the bush. I mean, well, it's within the laws of the game. Of course it is. And actually, in fairness to Carey, he's done it so quickly that it's not... I don't think it's like one of them where he's gone, oh, he's walked out, I'm going to get him. It's like, he's had a go. And it's maybe he's noticed Berto doing it on a few occasions and maybe premeditated
it. Which it looked like he did, because he threw it before Berto had even walked out of his crease.
Yeah.
So actually, if Berto had turned around, he'd have seen Carey throw the ball and he'd have got back.
And he'd have gone, what are you doing?
But also, and this is the thing that really winds me up, run out of the non-striker's end, people hate.
Mm.
But it's kind of fair, because if the non-striker is backing up too far, they're cheating, they're stealing ground.
Mm.
Berto wasn't stealing anything. Berto was walking down to have a chat. He wasn't trying to steal a run, or, you know, he didn't go for a run, turn around and go, oh God, I'm too slow to get back. There was no skill or anything there. It's almost like you timed him out or something for going to the loo for too long in the lunch break or something like that. You know, it's like there was no skill involved in getting him out. And I think that's the shame. Because, I mean, we can sit here and go, well, we lost by 40-odd runs. Berto would have got those. He wouldn't have done.
No. And
but we will never know that.
No,
we'll never know
that. There's
more
to it than that as well. Actually, do you know what? I don't think we would have got as close as we did, potentially, if that didn't happen. Because I think what happened, you know, what Stokes felt off that and then what he went on to do off that kind of perceived injustice. I just don't think he would have played that innings had he had Berto alongside him. So we probably would have lost anyway, sure. But it just doesn't feel great. I remember, I always like to look for like precedent when these things have happened before, which I looked for yesterday when Mitchell Starc's catch, or, you know, drop as it was deemed, was, you know, said it wasn't out. And there's plenty of examples of precedent of people taking catches, doing that exact thing, and they go, well, it's not out. It's not out, you've not, you know, here's the rules, that's what it is. And the most memorable example of precedent I can remember is Ian Bell against India a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe even more than that, when I think it was the last ball before lunch, and he's tapped his bat in, you know, made his ground, and just walked off for lunch. And I think it was Dhoni behind the stumps, whipped the bails off, they've all gone away, we've got him. And they've had a little think, and maybe it's because they had lunch to think about it. But obviously what then happened was Bell strides out after lunch and everyone sort of apologises and goes, well, yes, it was technically out, but we rescind our appeal. It's not within how we want to play cricket, because it's tenuous. It's obvious what's happening. How much can you blame Berto, do you think?
I mean, I would actually say there's very few players on our team that would get out in that way other than Berto. Don't you feel like it's a very Johnny Berto way of getting out? And like the kind of the big Johnny eyes when he's like, oh no, am I out? He just kind of he just looks like he wants to have a fight.
Mm.
I don't know. It just feels very, in the same way that for about 3 years, he seemed to chop onto his stumps every innings and never really like learnt from it.
Mm.
Or, I don't know, or the way he like broke his leg in 11 places playing golf. It just feels like the only Johnny Berto could do that, I feel.
It's almost his luck, but then also his maybe just like on just not just being a bit blasé, I suppose. And maybe at the height, I mean, Ashes cricket is the height of cricket competition. There is no margin for any sort of complacency. Obviously, no English player is going to get out like that again in this series.
No.
In the
you
next
saw
few
them
years.
Tapping their bat in every time after that.
Yeah, I mean, but there's more. Obviously, there's more to that than, oh, you can't get me out and tap my bat in. It's obviously trying to make a point and, you know, take the mick. It's a lesson. It's a reminder. Of course it is. But it's come in the most brutal of circumstances.
How many club cricketers are going to get out this weekend, or how many wicketkeepers in club cricket this weekend are going to try that now? I can guarantee there'll be 100 attempts and like one person might actually hit the stumps. I actually think there might be a lot of overthrows this Saturday now.
But then, okay, there's a good question for you though. If that's overthrows, surely it's a wicket. If Carey throws that, right? If Carey throws that, misses a stance and it goes and hits the boundary, what do we say? I'm saying, you cheeky bastard, stop trying to get our players out like that. damn right we're having four runs. That's what I'm saying.
Mm. But I think it's more similar to, imagine you take the catch, or you take the ball at wicketkeeper, it's left it, clean catch, you do the little thing out the back of the hand where you chuck it to first slip, first slip drops it and it runs away to the boundary. Would you be go? Because that is the ball's dead at that point. He's taking the catch. He's just passing it to the next guy to get it back to the bowler. At what point? I think it's more similar to that, and I wouldn't be asking for the runs.
Fair, but I guess what I was literally putting it in that scenario where what he has done is thrown it. It has missed and it's hit the boundary. I'm probably the first one standing up being like, I want four runs there, because that is proper cheeky from you. I think maybe it's just because, do you know what it was? It's because it robbed everyone there of what was such a spicy encounter waiting to happen. And like, the tension was obviously so high, the competition was so high. People believed England could make that run chase, and still did, up to probably, I don't know, maybe about 4 o'clock or whenever it was when Stokes
got out. I didn't give up until it was over, because you just look at it and go, the Aussies nearly got there in 2005 at Edgbaston. Number 10 and 11 scored 40-odd in the morning. You know,
but
it's not over till it's over.
Not Jimmy Anderson and Tungy.
No, I mean, but
Tung put
but
in a
they
pretty
gave
decent
us enough, because
be
they knocked off about 30. They knocked off about 30. They got it down to 40-odd to win.
Yeah.
And you just think, that's 10 streaky shots.
20, 25, the partnership was worth. It's good going for a final wicket partnership. But what I felt about England the last test is we had so much batting depth and a very short tail. And actually, you take Ali out of that, and when you think you've got Broad coming in at 8, that tail then seems very long. So... yeah. It was not a hot take at all, but as soon as Bairstow got out, you're saying, well, as soon as Stokes is out, that is the game over. And in fact, when Stokes got out, you know, I didn't lose interest, but it was very much a matter of time. The fact that Robinson got out so quickly and so cheaply as well, and you roll your eyes and you go, well, you know, that's a shame. That is that. Because actually, I think if there was one person in the tail that could have just got a weird 30... I thought it could have been Ollie Robinson.
At Wisden, they always say that Robinson's a weird one, because no matter how well he bats or bowls, he always averages 20 with both. Like, he has a bad day, it's like, oh, he's got 20 runs every time he bats, somehow. And he always, it doesn't matter whether you think he's been rubbish all test, he always somehow has averaged 20 with the ball.
Yeah.
So, I know what you mean, it's one of those ones. But also, as well, it's too much pressure on the guy. I think if Stokes had batted for another half an hour, 10 more boundaries, got it down to 40 or 30 odd, that number is something that three tail enders can apply themselves to and go, right, we're going to go in ones and twos, we're going to bat for an hour, just don't get out. Whereas 70, you're then looking at, we do not have the batting to be able to last long enough to score 70 singles. Like, that is 2-3 hours of batting. And they're not going to find the boundary enough. Like, it's just, you know, I just think the number 70 was too high. Get it to 50 and they would have... I just think mentality-wise, you could go, right, well, that's 20 between two of us and 10 for the other. Then we can do that. 70 is just a number that was too high, I think.
Yeah. Do you know what I was thinking is I really wanted Stokes to be able to get to the new ball. Because I think if he gets the new ball, he's probably knocking off another 30-odd in that time. But, you know, in between him... there was about 8 overs, I think, maybe slightly less from when he got out to the new ball. You know, who knows if they would have taken it at that time if Stokes was still there. But I was thinking, get to that new ball, and then anything could happen, because it would have been a 10 partnership then for each or slightly
and,
over.
And also as well, I think the new ball, it would have gone to the boundary faster.
Oh, mate, there was definitely some shots.
It's going to go for six rather than court.
Yeah, there was shots that Tungy was playing that... they just, you know, they needed a little bit more to get to the boundary. And actually, if that's off a new ball, you know, obviously you wouldn't have been able to play that shot or whatever, but that would go to the boundary. So it was a great, entertaining test, though, from start to finish.
It was.
If you don't have skin in the game, you're looking at it going, wow, what a test.
True. It's weird that I didn't really enjoy it until this morning. And then this morning I was watching it more with, as an England fan, I didn't enjoy it.
Mm.
I switched it on this morning thinking, I better watch this because if something happens, I will want to see it. There's a chance we win. It was slim, but I was like, there's a chance. And then it got entertaining. Even though we had spells where we were the better team, and actually, to be fair, we should have got our noses a lot further in front. The whole game felt like we were chasing Australia, and it didn't really feel like Australia were so good they were blowing us away. It just felt like we couldn't keep up with them.
It came from that first morning. It came from that first morning where conditions were favourable, and we chose to bowl, and we didn't get a wicket. And
yeah.
I think the first partnership was worth 73. And as a, you know, from a psychological point of view, that's huge. And you think there's been two really big decisions from Ben Stokes in these two tests that are aggressive decisions, they're baz-ball decisions, and they just haven't quite paid off. And that is obviously the declaration in the first test, and it's choosing to bowl in the second test. And they're both like, you know, you think on another day that could have worked out. We could have used those conditions, took three Australian wickets, and all of a sudden you're thinking, great, we could have. And again, on that, when we declared on the first day of the first test, we could have gone and got a couple of quick wickets, and you're like, that is baz-ball. Wow, this is so aggressive. It just hasn't paid off. But I don't think that means you should look back and go, oh, we should have done something different. Because I think I just like the brand of cricket they're playing. If that means it doesn't always work, you know, it is what it is. You shouldn't forget that Australia are the best test team in the world.
Yeah, shouldn't forget the champions. That. Yeah.
How well did Stark bowl, by the way? I thought, and Pat as well, Pat Cummins. But I thought Stark was unplayable at times. Unplayable. Well,
I mean, yesterday night, I checked the score, and I just thought, oh, brilliant, England are 4 for 50 or whatever, like we always are.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, you know, apply yourself, boys. Don't go out there swinging, because that's all we've seen so far this series. And then I watched the highlights back. I felt quite bad, because I'd judged them already. It didn't matter who was batting. Kohli, Tendulkar, Brian Lara, anyone could have been batting, and they'd have been clean bowled by all those deliveries. No one got themselves out.
One of the
so good.
Probably will be the ball of the series. You know, you feel bad for Pope, but it was, what a ball. Wobble. I think he bowled really well. I think Cummins bowled really well. And a lot of the time without reward for Cummins, actually. He sort of, in the first innings, he picked up, I think only one wicket, actually, but he bowled so well. They're a very good bowling attack. But again, England have hit 327 in the fourth innings.
Mm.
And a lot of the time, that would a be lot enough of the time, win most that games. Wins you the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think there's still a lot of heart you can take from it. I'll ask you a question, Steve, and that is, England are now 2-0 down in a home Ashes. Are the Ashes over already?
So I said in the group chat last night that, are we about to witness, and actually, to be fair, this is where my money would be, England men losing 5-0 and England women not winning a match in an Ashes series. We could very easily get to August this year, and other than at the test against Ireland, England will not have won a game in a home summer, and to have been we could easily get whitewashed. And I think it's one of those things where we lose next week and it feels like you're in Australia, nothing goes your way and you are just desperate. However, this, if there's one team in history that I think can win three games on the trot,
yeah, if there's one team that comes back, if there's one team that's going to let those sort of... It's been two nearly tests. And I think there's one team that can turn that around and put it aside and go, actually, there's so many positives we can take out of those first opening test matches. I think it's this side. So I really think that... I don't think the Ashes are over. Maybe that's out of hope more than expectation.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is. I think realistically, England can turn around and win the next three tests because we went 100%. So long without losing a test. We didn't lose a test last summer. You know, we had a really good winter. I think we could. I think I still hope and believe that we might be able to turn around and win 3-2. Who knows? I might look very silly if we end up losing 5-0. I might look like an absolute genius.
We won't lose 5-0, actually.
No, we're not going to lose 5-0. But, you know, the point is I could look very, very silly if England fold. Or I could look like an oracle if England turn around and by the time August hits, we've got the Ashes in our hands. Let's see what happens.
I think... I can't see... I really hope not, because Test cricket is on its knees, actually. It's not in the best place. And this England team promised to sort of, like, bring back Test cricket.
Mm.
And, like, my brother's watching it. My brother, you can't take him away from the TV. He loves it. He's obsessed with it now already.
Yeah.
And it has a feel of the 2005s where you can talk to people in the street and go, what do you think of England? And they'll go, oh, Ben Stokes is doing a good job. And anyone, everyone has an opinion.
And then again, today was another captivating innings that you only get from one man, really. Only one man, and I think in the world, is capable of an innings like that.
Ever. Like, you think of someone like Botham and people talk him up. Like Ben Stokes has had in 2019, he had two innings, well, actually three if you count the super over as a separate innings, like where he did the absolute impossible to win a game for England. I mean, this year he did the absolute impossible to get that close. You just don't know. Can he win it the series? That's the thing.
That was his first 50 for ages, wasn't it?
But this is the thing. All right, so
he's a match winner.
My thinking, yeah. But my thinking is, okay, this might be a bit of a monologue, but whatever happens, if we lose the next game, Test cricket, and I will have to bleep this out, is fucked in this country, because all the people that got excited for Bazball are now going to become one of them horrible old people you see on the internet going, oh, back in my day, they didn't hit the ball everywhere, and this is stupid, and all the kids were, and that's it. The philosophy's gone. And no one's going to tune in for three more tests if we've 3-0 down after three. No one's watching that. Like, that's it. Like, and no one's watching 100 because they're all fed up of England losing constantly. They just don't want to watch any more cricket. All I want is for it to go to either the last day or just go to the last session that's played at the Oval. I don't care if England win or lose, but take it to the last day of the Oval, please. Don't let a test match be played that's pointless. The other thing is, Bazball has looked stupid so far this series, but I think it might. Ben Stokes is a microcosm of Bazball in that,
yeah,
he gets out for five every week, swinging at one outside off, and you just go, why have you done that? But every time it comes to the fourth innings, he's one off of 50. And then goes, well, what do I need to do to win the game? I'm going to bat. I'm going to bat long time. I'm going to take the field. And it's sensible, and he does what the team needs. That's what Bazball is. It looks stupid, but in the final three tests, they're going to go, what do we need to do to win three tests on the row? We need to not get out like 10 down first morning.
Yeah.
And they'll bat sensibly. They'll bat better. Justin Langer said something at lunchtime on day two, I think it was. He said, it's good to be daring and adventurous and exciting. Jumping out of a plane is daring and adventurous and exciting. But you don't jump out of a plane without a parachute because you want to be so exciting. You still wear a parachute, even though that's boring. Like, you don't just throw yourself off a cliff because it's exciting. Like, don't do that. There's levels of it.
Yeah.
And England haven't worked that out yet. But I think now, with Stokes playing that kind of innings where, and he did it, this thing, they've not been doing it in test matches where they just go, right, we need to be boring for half an hour to get a good score and don't let them back in the game. They did it in the T20 World Cup final against Pakistan and the semi-final against India. They batted at a slower rate than they have been in test matches because that's they realised that Stokes needed to play that innings to win a World Cup. Do it in a test match, you know? You don't have to go at sixes in a test match. You can have half an hour where you go at twos and you soak up some pressure. That's the thing. The final point is that in 2015, England were in a far worse position coming into a home in Ashes summer than they are now. They just lost 5-0. There was no way they should have won that series, but they won. They went on a pre-Ashes camp in Spain where they didn't play any cricket. They had team bonding, but they basically, by the pool, all day, every day, they just did slip catching. And they didn't drop any catches that series, and they won the series. Our fielding this year and our batting and things like that, it's all well and good saying, we're Bazball, we're going to go and play golf. And it's like fun and it's aesthetically pleasing and it's all, you know, plays into the mindset. But they've dropped so many catches and missed stumpings and extra runs and boundaries they shouldn't have conceded. And it's things like that that I just think, it's good being relaxed, but don't be so relaxed that you can't do the basics. Because on a Sunday in a friendly, I get shouted at if I do that. You can't do it at test level. So
I do think tighten up that field a little bit, and again, just a little bit of rub of the green. I really think that's a difference. Little things like in that, you know, on the second day when Ollie Pope hooks it and gets caught on the boundary. I think if that goes for six, you're seeing a really different test. Just because they'll go, oh, this is Bazball. We're bowling short and we're getting smacked for six. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Obviously, what ended up happening is, you know, they bowled short and that became the whole test became a short bowling exercise. But I still think it's very exciting. I still think it's really finely poised. And Australia maybe 2-0 up and obviously favourites. But don't write off England. Do not write off England because, you know, if any team is capable of coming back from 2-0 down, it's this England team with Ben Stokes as captain and Brendan McCullum as coach and the talent that is, the batting talents throughout the squad and to an extent the bowling talent. I think Tung's been a great find. I think he bowled really well. Broad's obviously always pumped because it's an Ashes. I think we still have a great chance. So I'm still very excited. It's a shame. It's been great for cricket though. It's been great for cricket to see a test like that. Very old versus new. And old's winning. Old is winning so far. But, you know, let's see who's winning come the beginning of August.
Well, I know who will definitely be winning come the beginning of August.
Tell me
keep
now.
Keep going the way they are. Can you guess?
I want you to tell me, Steve.
Cricket will be the winner.
Sure, Steve. Cricket is always the winner. And like a Top Gear episode, that's our sign to end.
Yes. And with that, good night. Thank you.
Podcast Network.